Okay, once again, we're going to have Pastor Barry Cardall from the Campbell River Vineyard, part three of his terrific message on God the Creator. And we're getting into, you know, the implications for us trusting him. So listen to this.
So important for us to get. Now, why is this? Don't miss the implications. Heaven and earth cannot contain God. God is not like the idols of the false religions of their day, where you make a statue and then you put it in a temple and worship it there as if that was its new home. God does not live in the houses that are made by man. And the important implication is that everything in the box belongs to God. So that's the next thing I want you to see. Because God created the box, it's whose box is it? It's his box. You know what scares us sometimes? And it's a hard thing, I know. But if you made something, is it yours to do with as you see fit? The box is God's box. There are implications. Your existence, everybody, is simply because of the grace of Almighty God. He didn't have to make you. You didn't have to have any life. He had no obligation to you whatsoever. Your very existence is because he decided that he would pour out life and create you. He had you in mind. It says before he ever created this box, the Bible says that God had you in mind. His love drove him to create the box. But you need to understand, he is under no obligation whatsoever to have made you. He doesn't owe you your life even. If God, this is hard, I know, but if God decided tomorrow that your life is over now, and isn't that one of the things that bothers us about God? We are like, what? How could God have allowed that car accident to happen and this, you know, person died or whatever? And we get mad at God and we're like, God, I'm not believing in you anymore because there's so much evil in the world. If you understand this, over here, you can't think that way anymore. Do you know why? Because if you live 20 years, that 20 years, folks, is a gift from God. You didn't have any right to it in the first place. It was given to you by him, and it's all because of his love and grace to you. Period. Hello? Do you understand that? Now, I understand that once God creates us, there is an obligation, his love for us, and we have all those kinds of things, but I'm just telling you, we all belong to God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Let's read this next section. Solomon, what slide am I on? Okay. I've found my place again. Solomon, when he built the temple of God, understood this idea very well. And he realized that even when they, Israel, were trying to honor God and they were trying to give back to God through the creation of the temple, they could only give to God what already belonged to God. Let's read 1 Chronicles 29 together. But who, it says, am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything has come from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We were aliens and strangers in your sight. As were all our forefathers, our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope, O Lord our God. As for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand. It all belongs to you. Do you understand what he's saying? We can't give. Our worship, folks, everything we give, nothing we do sacrificially for God in one sense is giving God anything but what is already his. That should blow our mind. It's like How many of you have had a little grandchild or a little child, and it's Christmas time, and they're going to buy you a gift? So what do? You get your wallet out, right, and you give them the money, and then you take them to the store, and then, you know, maybe mom goes with them, and then they pick out the gift that they're going to get for you at Christmas time. And then the little Christmas package comes and you open it up on Christmas morning. And you're like, oh, Billy, I'm so excited that you gave me this. Thank you so much. But think about it. I had to open my wallet up and give them the money to go. And that's what we're like to God. God is saying, look, folks, anything you give to me, it's already mine. It already belongs to me. And so when you think you're doing these amazing things for God, just have that little picture in your mind. You're like a little child. God's given you the money, and you go and you spend it on something and you bring it back to Him, and then He acts so excited. This is what we need to understand. The next big implication is this. God alone is worthy of our worship. Because God alone is the creator, because God is outside of creation, then God alone is in fact God. And He alone is to be worshipped. God makes it very clear that we are not to worship anything inside the box. The box does not get worshipped. The God who is outside the box gets worshipped. But we are always worshiping things inside the box, aren't we? This is our problem. God, in the Ten Commandments, He says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods besides me. And in Psalm 96, I want us to read this together. For God is the Lord, for great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are what? Idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Look at this text. Why is the Lord to be feared above all other gods? Why is He to be worshipped? Because He's the creator. Because He alone made the heavens and the earth. God is the creator, and every other false god is us worshiping something that is inside the box. Idols are just blocks of wood, the Bible says, or they're just chunks of stone, or they're just chunks of metal. And we do the same thing in this day. We worship money. We worship ourselves. We worship sex. We worship the created things, and the Bible is clear. If you worship the created things, then you are going to bear the image of the created things. Our greatest temptation is to redirect our worship away from God who made the box towards the things inside the box. Okay? And God is very clear about what happens to us if we worship the things that are inside the box. Isaiah 44, 18 to 20. And read this with me. It says, they know nothing. They understand nothing. Their eyes are plastered over so they cannot see, and their minds are closed so they cannot understand. No one stops to think. No one has the knowledge or understanding to say, half of it I use for fuel. I even baked bread over its coals. I roasted meat and I ate. Shall I make a detestable thing from what is left? Shall I bow down to a block of wood? He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart misleads him. He cannot save himself or say, is not this thing in my right hand a lie? Now I want you to see what he's saying here. Is the people are worshiping idols of wood or stone. And what happens is they begin to bear the image of the wood and the stone. They become unknowing. They become unseeing. They become mindless. They cannot save themselves. They can't even look at the thing in their hand, in a sense, and say, gee, this is dumb. Because I used half of it to cook my food, and the other half of it to build my house, and now I carved something out of it, and I'm going to worship this thing that I carved. But they're blinded to see it because they're bearing the image of it. Do you get it? And it's profound. Now, what we need to remember is that in the beginning of Genesis, it says there is someone that we are created to resemble, isn't there? Who is it? Who are we created to bear the image of? God. God Himself. And our purpose, one of the primary purposes of your existence, is to bear God's image on this good earth. This is a profound thing. God has imprinted His image into you and I. We are to bear it on the earth. But what happened is we sinned, and that image became distorted. It was cracked. It became disfigured. And God's plan since the fall of man is to restore His image in you. To restore His image in you and I. Do you get this? And He did it through the life and the death and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is God who came to the earth. I want you to get this now. Listen, we're almost home. He came to the earth in the incarnation, and this is profound because in a mysterious sense, God is now forever linked to the box. God said, I'm going to come into the box. I'm beyond the box. I made the box. I am so far greater than this box ever could be, but I am going to forever and for all eternity connect my nature to the box and connect the box's nature to me through my Son. Isn't that true? And so now God is in this mind-blowing way somehow sharing in the nature of humanity. But because of that, you and I share in the nature of divinity. You should clap about that, folks. Let's say that. That is an amazing thing to me. We share in the divine being now. And here's what it says. God became a man, and Jesus is the exact representation of His being. Jesus bears God's image perfectly on earth. And then through the cross and the resurrection, what Jesus does is He takes the distorted, broken, idol-bearing, sin-filled image of all of humanity and He puts it on Himself. You get that? He becomes it on the cross for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And there at the cross and through the resurrection, He redeems it all. And what redemption means is He's paying the price. He is setting it right. He is getting us out of the prison. He is taking us who are looking at this idol that we've carved, but we can't even see in a sense that this is stupid. He's doing that, and He's saying, before you could ever do that, I am going to take this distorted image, this idol-bearing, sin-soaked image that is humanity, and I'm going to put it on myself. And I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to pay it. I'll pay the cost. I'll take it all. I'll drink the cup. And then through the resurrection, I will restore to you and I the image of the divine. And you and I get to put that image on. Not because of how great we are. Not because we figured it out. Not because, wow, the box is all there is. And therefore, if we just understand that, we can really improve ourselves and become better and better and better and better and better. That's not the biblical story. What the biblical story says is we can't do that. The box, and if we worship the box, we will look like the box. But God has taken the box onto himself. And we now can bear his image if we will believe. And one of the ways in which we bear his image is by worshiping. So that's what I want us to do right now. Let's all stand up and let's get the worship team up. And we just won't play the video right now because we don't have time to do that. But let's do this together.
Okay, you've been listening to Pastor Barry Cardall. Great message at the Campbell River Vineyard. God the Creator. Now, the Vineyard Church meets Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock. You're all welcome to come.